By the end of next year, U.S. merchants will have handed over about $198 billion in swipe fees.
Wow.
Yeah, that is a 70% jump since 2019. And honestly, the craziest part about that number is this. If you are a business owner looking at your monthly statement, you are probably blaming Apple Pay for your rising
Oh,
costs.
for sure. Everyone does.
Right, but you would be entirely wrong. So, welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are doing a dedicated strategy session between two operators here at My Pay Advisor. I am your senior payments advisor taking the lead, and joining me is our analyst co-host.
It is really great to be here. We have a lot of ground to cover today, and it directly impacts the bottom line of anyone taking payments.
Exactly. We are talking directly to you, the listener. Specifically, we are targeting the U.S. merchant moving anywhere between $25,000 and $5 million a month in card volume.
Yeah, that mid-market sweet spot.
Right. And our mission today is to crack open the 2026 Operator Guide to Contactless and Mobile Wallet Fees. We want to anchor you immediately to what you should actually be paying in 2026.
Because a lot of people are just guessing at this point.
Completely. So we're going to cut through those incredibly confusing processor statements, show you the exact mechanics of where your margin is leaking, and most importantly, give you a playbook to fix it this week.
And we really need to start with the biggest misconception in the room.
Oh, please do.
Yeah, because I look at merchant data all day long, and there is this very common belief out there. Merchants think that Apple Pay, Google Pay, and Samsung Pay are charging them extra fees just for the convenience of tapping a phone.
Yeah, I hear that on almost every single advisory call.
Right. They see their bills climbing as contactless payments take over the market, and they just naturally assume the tech giants are taking a cut straight out of their revenue.
But let us look at the technical truth here, because what actually happens in the 500 milliseconds when a customer taps their phone at your register is, well, it is fascinating.
It really is.
The mobile wallet does not transmit the real 16-digit card number. If you are using Apple Pay, your actual credit card number is not floating through the air to the terminal.
Which is a huge security benefit.
Right. Instead, what happens is the wallet provisions a token. In the industry, we call this a device primary account number. The phone generates a one-time cryptogram to secure the transaction.
That is the core of it, yeah. But here is the critical part for the operator listening to us right now. This is not some proprietary Apple or Google network thing.
Oh, definitely not.
This is the exact same EMV contactless specification that runs a standard physical chip card DIP. From a network and technical standpoint, the cryptography the terminal receives is identical. It does not matter whether a plastic card is inserted or a phone is tapped.
I always try to explain tokenization like going to a really busy bar.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, so instead of handing the bartender your actual driver's license every time you order a drink, where they could, look at your home address and all your personal details, the bouncer at the door just checks your ID once.
Right. Then the bouncer gives you a VIP wristband. That wristband proves you are valid and allowed to buy a drink, but it holds zero personal data. That is essentially what your phone is doing with that one-time cryptogram.
That is a perfect way to look at it.
The processor is handling the exact same data payload as a physical card. But I have to push back on you here for a second.
Okay, go ahead.
If the network process is exactly the same, why am I looking at merchant statements every single week that literally have a line item charging the business extra for an NFC tap? Like, someone is lying.
Oh, someone is definitely lying. And to figure out who it is, we really have to follow the money. We have to look at the hard rules set by Visa and MasterCard.
Right, the big players.
Exactly. Both of these global networks treat a properly captured tap as a card-present transaction. It meets the absolute highest authentication tier they have. They do not have a separate, more expensive processing bucket for mobile wallets. Okay, so the card networks are playing fair. Visa and MasterCard are not adding a surcharge for the tap. But what about Apple? I mean, everyone assumes Apple is taking a bite.
According to the latest summaries from the Nilson report, Apple does charge a fee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it comes out to roughly 0.15% on U.S. credit transactions and about 0.5 cents on U.S. debit transactions. But, and here's the massive catch,
What is the catch?
Apple bills the issuing bank for that fee. They do not bill the merchant. The bank that issued the credit card basically eats that cost because they want their card to be the default in the user's digital wallet.
Wait, so the merchant does not pay that Apple fee at all?
Not a single cent of it. And to
Ooh.
add to that, Google and Samsung do not charge an equivalent fee at all.
So what does this all mean for the operator? It means the network economics are completely clean, the card brands are not charging you extra, and Apple's not charging you extra. If you see an NFC fee or a wallet fee on your monthly statement, it is purely a processor markup. The problem is happening entirely downstream. And I think that brings us to the actual meat of the 2026 operator guide.
Yeah, let us get into it.
If it is not Apple taking the money, where is it going? We identified four specific profit leaks where operators are bleeding money on contactless payments.
Let's break those down one by one. The first major leak is downgrades. And this is a massive issue because it happens quietly in the background. You almost never notice it.
Right. Downgrades happen when a transaction clears at a lower security tier than it really should. But let us unpack the mechanics of that. How does a highly secure phone tap suddenly become a downgrade?
Well, it mostly comes down to the hardware communication.
Okay, meaning the actual terminal on the counter.
Right. If your payment terminal is not properly certified by the processor, or say the firmware is out of date, it might drop the ball during that 500 millisecond handshake.
Oh, I see.
If the cryptogram fails to transmit cleanly during the tap, the processing network panics. It assumes the highest level of security was not met, so the transaction clears as if it were a manual keyed entry or even an old school magnetic stripe read.
Hold on. For the operator listening who is not, you know, staring at interchange tables all day, what does that downgrade actually mean in real dollars and cents?
Let us look at a standard Visa consumer credit transaction. A clean tap should clear at the CPS retail rate. That rate is roughly 1.51% plus 10 cents per transaction.
That is the baseline we want.
Exactly. But if that terminal glitches and forces a downgrade, the transaction drops to the EIRF rate.
Right.
EIRF stands for Electronic Interchange Reimbursement Fee, and that rate jumps to 2.30% plus 10 cents.
Let me just do the math on that really quick. That is a 0.79% jump in cost for the exact same transaction buying the exact same product.
Yep.
If you are a merchant doing $300,000 in monthly card volume, that single technical glitch on your counter is costing you about $2,370 a month in completely avoidable fees.
It is wild when you add it up.
You are paying over $2,000 a month just because your terminal firmware is failing to pass a token correctly. That is painful.
It really is. And that leads directly into the second leak, which is processor surcharges. So let us say your hardware is perfect.
Okay, firmware is updated, everything is green.
Right. You are still not safe. This is where processors just add fake line items to your bill. You pull up your PDF statement and you might see charges labeled something like mobile wallet access or tokenization fee or even Apple Pay enablement.
I see these all the time. They're completely fabricated. They usually range from 0.05 to 0.25%.
Yes, exactly.
And as we just established with that bouncer analogy earlier, it costs the processor nothing extra to support a tokenized transaction. The data payload is the same. The processing cost is the exact same.
Right. They do no extra work.
That fee is pure profit margin for the processor, entirely at your expense. Okay, so what is the third leak?
The third leak gets a bit more technical, but this was where some of the biggest savings actually live. It involves expensive debit routing.
Okay, this is the RegSECA stuff.
Exactly. This comes down to Federal Reserve Regulation 2. For regulated debit, which means debit cards issued by large banks with over $10 billion in assets, the interchange fee is strictly capped by the government.
What is the cap right now?
It is capped at 21 cents plus 0.05% of the transaction amount, plus a 1 cent fraud adjustment.
But the landscape shifted significantly recently. The Federal Reserve issued a major clarification in 2023. They explicitly stated that merchants have the legal right to route tokenized transactions over unaffiliated networks.
This was a huge win for merchants.
Right. We are talking about domestic networks like Star or Pulse rather than the default global rails.
That is a crucial distinction to make. When a customer taps an Apple Pay wallet, the digital token often wants to default to the Visa or MasterCard global rails.
Because it is set up that way by default.
Exactly. And leaving your volume on those default global rails is just a massive waste of money.
So what should the operator do?
If you work with your processor to enable PIN-less debit routing, you can push those digital tap transactions to cheaper competing networks. The routing logic happens entirely in the background, so the customer experience does not change at all. But your cost to run that debit card drops significantly.
That is amazing. Which brings us to the fourth leak, which honestly feels like the laziest mistake a processor can make.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, the miscoded MCC. For those listening, MCC stands for Merchant Category Code.
Right. Visa and MasterCard publish specific lower interchange rates for certain business categories. They do this to encourage card acceptance in those specific industries.
Like which ones?
So places like supermarkets, fuel stations, and quick service restaurants get much better baseline rates than a standard general retail store.
So if a processor sets up your account and they get lazy, they might code your quick service restaurant as general retail. They assign you MCC 5999 instead of the correct MCC 5814.
And that is an expensive typo.
It really is. If that happens, you are instantly penalized by the card networks. You lose 0.30 to 0.65% on every single consumer credit tap. But here's the real question for you as the expert.
All right, lay it on me.
If I'm a typical operator managing a business, dealing with inventory and payroll and all that, how am I supposed to figure out if an expensive transaction on my statement is caused by a broken terminal firmware issue causing a downgrade, or a processor intentionally misclassifying my account, or just a bunch of expensive rewards cards?
Well, you figure it out by looking at real data, not just theory. This is exactly why we put a massive case study in the 2026 Operator Guide.
Yes, I love this part.
Let us ground all of these concepts in a real-world example so the listener can see exactly how these leaks compound on a single business.
I love this example because it is so incredibly common. We are looking at a 14-location quick-service coffee operator based in the Pacific Northwest. Let us lay out their baseline numbers before we stepped in to help.
The baseline for this operator is $1.4 million in monthly card volume across all 14 locations.
All volume?
Yeah, very healthy. Their average ticket size is $9.40, which totally makes sense for a coffee shop. And heavily relevant to our topic today, 62% of their total volume is contactless.
Which means a lot of people are tapping their phones for their morning coffee.
Exactly. But their processor had them completely trapped. They were on an opaque tiered pricing plan.
Oh, man. If you are listening and you are on tiered pricing, you really need to pay close attention right now.
Yes, you do. This coffee shop was paying 1.79% for what the processor called qualified transactions. They paid 2.49% for mid-qualified and 3.19% for non-qualified.
Those are brutal rates.
And it gets worse. On top of those terrible rates, the processor added a 0.15% mobile wallet enablement fee on every single NFC transaction.
Let us do the math on the financial impact of just that one fake fee. That 0.15% wallet enablement line item was applied to 62% of their $1.4 million volume.
Right.
Just that one fabricated line item was costing the coffee shop $1,302 every single month. That is over $15,000 a year vanishing from their margin for a service that, as we discussed, costs the processor literally nothing.
But it gets even worse when you look at the structure of their plan.
Yeah.
Because they were on a tiered pricing model, the processor had total control over which bucket a transaction fell into.
They can just sort them however they want.
Yep. The processor was dumping almost all of the rewards card taps into the mid-qualified bucket. It did not matter that the tap was highly secure via tokenization.
Because it was a tap, it was secure.
Right. And it did not matter that it met the EMV criteria for the lowest interchange rate. The processor grouped them into a higher cost tier by default. This caused massive systemic downgrades across their entire operation.
So how did we fix it?
The resolution here is the blueprint every merchant needs to follow. We audited their setup and immediately moved the operator away from that opaque tiered plan. We put them on a transparent Interchange Plus pricing model.
Which is what everyone should be on.
100%. The new rate was simply the true network cost, plus a transparent 0.30% markup for the processor.
We also caught the coding error, right?
We did. We corrected their merchant category code to 5814 for quick service restaurants, ensuring they actually got the discount Visa and MasterCard intended for them.
And of course, we removed that ridiculous 0.15% wallet enablement fee entirely.
Just executing those basic structural changes dropped their effective processing rate from 2.42% down to 1.94%.
That is a huge drop.
Yeah. On $1.4 million of monthly volume, that simple cleanup saved them $6,720 a month.
But here's where it gets really interesting, because we did not stop at the structural fixes. We looked closely at their card mix. 38% of their total volume was debit cards.
Right. A lot of debit in coffee shops.
So we went in and enabled PIN-less debit routing. This meant all those tokenized debit taps from Apple Pay and Google Pay could finally run over cheaper domestic networks like Star or Pulse instead of automatically defaulting to the more expensive global rails.
And that single routing change trimmed another estimated 0.08% off their effective rate. That generated an additional $1,120 in savings.
So what is the grand total?
When you combine the structural fixes with the routing optimization, the total win for this coffee operator was $7,840 a month.
Oh, wow.
They were losing nearly $8,000 every single month on fees they just assumed were a standard, unavoidable cost of doing business.
That is almost $100,000 a year in pure profit just handed back to the business.
It changes the whole business model.
It really does. Which brings us to the most critical question for you, the operator listening to this right now. What is the exact playbook you should execute this week to clean up your own processing fees and stop the bleeding?
We built a 90-day audit playbook for exactly this reason. This is a step-by-step action plan you can initiate today.
Walk us through step one.
Step one, you need to pull your last 90 days of PDF processing statements. Do not just look at your online dashboard. You really need the actual PDF statements. And you need 90 days to account for any seasonal shifts in how your customers are paying.
Right. The PDF is where the bodies are buried.
Yeah.
Once you have those statements, what are they looking for?
You are scanning the document for very specific words. You want to locate any line item labeled digital wallet, tokenization, NFC fee, or Apple Pay access.
Got it. And once they find
Once
those.
you find those line items, total up the actual dollar amount they charged you for them. Then divide that dollar total by your total contactless volume for that month.
Okay, so total fee divided by contactless volume.
Exactly. Doing that math gives you the exact processor markup percentage they are hiding in your bill. You now have the exact number of what they are skimming.
And once you have that number, this is my favorite part of the playbook. It is the single fastest win in the payment industry. You pick up the phone or you send an email to your processing representative and you ask them in writing for the Visa or MasterCard bulletin number that authorizes that specific wallet fee.
That is the power move right there.
It works every time.
Because there is no such bulletin.
Yeah.
Visa and MasterCard do not charge that fee. Processors know this, and they will typically drop the surcharge in a single phone call.
They panic.
They do. They would much rather remove the fee and keep your business than admit in writing that they made the fee up entirely to pad their own margins.
But you have to be incredibly careful with the follow-through here. Do not just accept a casual email from your sales rep saying they removed the fee. You must get the removal formally documented in your schedule of contract.
Oh, that is crucial.
Yeah, side emails do not survive when your sales rep leaves for another company or when the processor gets acquired. Get it permanently amended in the official contract.
This audit process is vital for today, but I think it also raises an important question for the near future. You can clean up your statements this week, but the payment technology is moving incredibly fast.
Exactly. I want to leave you with a look ahead based on some very recent data we are seeing in the Nilson report. You might fix your mobile wallet fees this week, and you really should, but the landscape is shifting all over again.
It never stops.
Right. We are already seeing platforms like Skyfire rolling out things like the KY Pay protocol. This is a payment protocol built entirely for autonomous AI agents.
That is wild to think about.
It is. We are looking at a near future where the next wave of digital commerce involves AI software making actual financial purchases on behalf of human users.
So no human involved to the point of sale.
None. When an autonomous AI agent taps your digital storefront to buy inventory or negotiate a supply order or pay for a software service, how will your payment architecture handle a transaction where no human is present to authenticate the charge?
That is a massive security question.
Exactly. How will Visa and MasterCard classify the risk on an AI-driven purchase? It is something to seriously think about as you sit down to review those PDF statements this week. The game is changing, and your margins depend on keeping up.